Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 10th chapter. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." If we pause there, what do those commandments have to do with? More our relationship with each other or relationship with God? It's all about relationship with each other. And so he said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all of these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who's rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it's impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we've left everything and followed you." And Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sister or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. There is so much happening in this gospel reading today. The first thing we might notice is the very first sentence, which says Jesus was setting out on a journey. Well, where was he going? He's headed to Jerusalem. He's headed to Jerusalem, which is the place where he will be killed. So he's setting out on a journey that's going to lead to his death. And he's been on this path for a long time, on this path that shows care and welcome to all those in this world who are despised by this world, and he'll be killed for it. Through this path, he reveals the injustice of the world, that those who are innocent and seek to do good like Jesus often end up struggling at the hands of those who have power and wealth. So Jesus takes this path to reveal God's love for the whole world and for those who are most vulnerable in it. So he sets out on this journey, and all of a sudden this man comes up and stops him. We learn later that this man has many possessions. He has wealth. He also has tried to be ethical. He's tried to follow all these commandments, and yet he's still looking for something more. So he stops Jesus, and he says, "What can I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, if we think about this, Jesus is on a journey to die to reveal God's love for the world. And the rich man is concerned about eternal life just for himself. Jesus seeks to bring him into a larger vision of what eternal life is, a bigger vision of what the kingdom of God is. It's not just some end-of-life thing, but it's God's activity that starts now. That eternal life isn't just about the life beyond this one, but it's about seeking and creating abundant life for people today. So this man has tried to keep the commandments, who has all these possessions. Jesus says to him, "You lack one thing." Now this is a guy who probably has never lacked a thing in his life, and he's now told, "You lack one thing. Sell your many, many possessions and give to those who are experiencing poverty." Now it's good to know that back in that time, in that culture, they had a different understanding of wealth. They believed that if you had wealth, it was from God, that God favored you and God blessed you with that wealth. The disciples believe this. We see it when they hear Jesus say it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than someone with wealth to enter the kingdom of God. And they're like, how can this be? One writer, Debbie Thomas, talks about the shock that the man experiences when he hears he has to sell what he has. And she writes, I imagine the man experiences shock because he considers his wealth as a reward from God, not an obstacle standing between him and God. And then she goes on to say how terrible to be told that his best credential, his wealth, is in fact a liability and a burden. And she writes how frightening to discover that money is never a blessing if we feel a need to hoard it. Another scholar, Mark Vitalis Hoffman, he wonders, what is that one thing that the man lacks? And he wonders if it's relationship with God. As I mentioned, all the commandments that Jesus mentions to him have to do with our relationship with the neighbor, with the guy trying to keep the absolute letter of the law. But what about that command to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, to have no other gods? How is the man keeping that command? Martin Luther suggested that anything on which your heart depends, that becomes your God. Where you find your trust and your security, that's your God. That's what we end up devoting our lives to. So as we think about our own lives and our own possessions, we could wonder, on what do we rely? On what is it that we depend? And when we look at what we own, do our possessions serve us? Or do we end up serving our possessions? There's this truth that the more we have, the more we have to care for. The more time we invest in taking care of our stuff. Last week we heard that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We invest a lot of time and money and energy in our stuff and in maintaining that stuff. Now, some of you have heard this before, but I really like this saying. Our possessions, or our longing for more possessions, have a way of possessing us, kind of taking over our lives. I think back to when my husband and I were new parents. We had our firstborn son, at that time our only son, Henry. And we spent a lot of time at Babies R Us, which was a big store back then. So we'd drive the 45 minutes from our house, and we'd wander the aisles for things that we needed. And as we're in those aisles, suddenly you discover things you never knew existed that you're like, I have to have that. One thing in particular I remember is a cart cover. So this is back before they offered wipes to clean off the grocery carts, you know, where children sit up there and put their hands where everybody's hands are. And I'm like, I gotta protect my son from germs. So I see this cart cover that I didn't know existed 5 minutes ago. And I said to my husband, we need this. So I pictured driving around the store with this cart and my son totally protected from germs. Such a bad idea. So if you've ever gotten one and you actually use it, way to go. But for us, not a good purchase. For one thing, my son started daycare at 12 weeks old. Is he in more danger of germs there or the few times he rides in the cart? The second thing is this purchase was totally unrealistic. Like, I'm really going to go to the store carrying my one-year-old, a diaper bag, a grocery list, and then this big bundle to take the time and put in the cart to keep him safe, and then leave with all the groceries and take that thing off? Like, no way. Anybody here ever purchased something that you thought was going to be great and it fell far short? Anyone with me, or is it just me? Okay. There's great wisdom out there about spending and about stewardship, how we steward what is in our care. One idea is before you purchase something, think about what's this going to be like in 100 years? Or how about 50 years, or 10, or even 1 year? Am I still going to be excited about this and use it? Another piece of wisdom is when purchasing something that you think you need, wait a week or more. Instead of that impulse buy, wait a week or more and think, do I really still need this and want it? Sometimes yes, a lot of times no. There's plenty of pieces of financial wisdom out there. But if we get back to the gospel, it really comes down once again to the two greatest commandments, how we love God with all that we have and all that we are, and how we love our neighbor as ourselves. Cameron Howard is an Old Testament professor, and she talked about this passage. She mentioned Marie Kondo's book. I don't know if you've heard of Marie Kondo and her book or her speaking, but she suggests that you pick up each item you own and decide, does this thing bring me joy? And if not, get rid of it. Not a bad idea, you know, does this thing give me joy? If not, get rid of it. But Cameron Howard looks at the gospel and how Jesus looks at our possessions and takes a little different spin on this. Instead of picking up each item and asking, does it bring us joy? She likes the idea of picking up each item or looking at each item we have and asking, how can this serve my neighbor? How can I use this thing in service for someone else? And she goes on to say, how does this supplement the way I interact with my neighbors? And she says that then helps us to reflect on things like, what did it take to get this thing to my house? What was the cost to the environment? What were the wages paid to that person who, say, sewed my jacket? Or if we think about our things, if we think about our things in terms of human beings, we can ask things like, did this person get a fair wage? And I bought this thing and it supported that? Or it didn't? These are really complicated questions, and yet also really faithful and challenging questions. We also might ask, what are things that we have that get in the way of our relationship with God or of caring for one another? And are those things that need to go? We look back at the man who comes to Jesus. Debbie Thomas writes, he doesn't really want to follow Jesus. He wants to admire the good teacher from a comfortable distance and go on living as he has always lived. How about for us? Do we want to just stand back and admire Jesus and think Jesus is great, but not have Jesus change anything for us? She also shares that Jesus does finally answer that question that the man asks. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus answers it with an invitation to follow me, with an offer of companionship and friendship and of a life shared together. Jesus invites him, follow me. But that's not an answer the man can take, at least not yet. And I wonder, can we? I wonder what Jesus would invite us to give up so that we can more fully follow him with our whole lives. And so today I want to end where Jesus began. Because before Jesus ever tells the man to give something up, what does he do? He looks at the man and loves him. He asks that man to do this difficult task only out of Jesus' love. So I want to invite you now, if you're comfortable, to close your eyes and take a moment and really try to imagine Jesus' love. Try to picture a time that you felt totally and unconditionally loved. Try to think about a time when you yourself felt totally and unconditionally loved. Or picture a time you totally and unconditionally loved someone else. Try to really feel that love again as you remember it. And if you can't come up with your own picture, maybe think of a grandparent holding in their arms a newborn baby. And imagine the love radiating out toward that child. And try to really feel what that kind of love feels like. Do you feel it in your heart, in your arms, in your hands? And try to trust that that's just a glimpse of the love that Jesus has for you. That kind of love is what Jesus invites us to live in more fully. And now picture someone you might see this week who needs that kind of love and care right now. Try to picture that love extending out to them and imagine Jesus' love flowing over them. And may God guide us in how best to share that in the week ahead. I'll invite you to open your eyes. And maybe you didn't have time to think about that, but maybe you take some time later today. Because we are given a huge purpose to experience God's love for us in Jesus. And then in what we say, in how we use our things, we are brought into a way of life that's not about accumulating more, not storing up more for ourselves, but it is about living generously. And in that, we point to the abundant life found in Jesus now and forever. Amen.